Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Welcome. So glad you're here. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us. Wasn't worship amazing this morning? God's presence is certainly here. It's great having Alex and Annabeth with us, you know, part of the Vineyard family across the United States. And I've just heard raving reports about the women's conference. How was the women's conference, you ladies? I heard it was fantastic. So it's great to have them with us. So my wife, Thora, and I, we started a series a couple of weeks ago called Families Are Messy. Families Are Messy. And we're going to continue that today. And I want to begin by asking you a question. Has everything in your life gone exactly the way that you've wanted it to, at least up to this point? Anyone, everything in your life gone exactly the way? Has there been any place of disappointment in your life up to this point? You know, if we're honest, we've all had disappointment, haven't we? You know, another way of saying it is, do you have any kind of a shattered dream in your life? I think we all do. You know, Abraham and his wife Sarai, they had a shattered dream. Their shattered dream was the absence of a child. They weren't able to get pregnant. Maybe your shattered dream is the absence of a spouse. Or maybe the absence of a child like them. Maybe your shattered dream is, you know, the death of a spouse. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe your shattered dream has to do with your vocation. You know, you've never been able to really get the job or the career that you've always dreamed about. Maybe your shattered dream is more physical. Maybe it's, you know, you're not as healthy physically as you thought you would be. Or maybe a loved one isn't as healthy as you've hoped that they would be. Maybe your shattered dream has to do with your marriage. Maybe your marriage isn't going the way that you'd always dreamed it would go. But here's the truth. Look at your outline, letter A. There's no one who sees all of their dreams in this world fulfilled. No one. You know, Thora and I, we had a shattered dream. We experienced a shattered dream of infertility. We dealt with infertility for over 15 years. It was incredibly difficult. It was certainly a big shattered dream in our life. So what do you do when you have a shattered dream? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Let's start in Genesis 16:1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. We need to understand that the inability to have a child in the ancient world was a far greater disaster than it is today. Now, don't get me wrong. It's definitely a tragedy today when you want almost more than anything else to have a child and you're not able to do that. Now, even the Bible confirms that infertility is an unquenchable emotion. Proverbs 30, starting in 15, says there are three things that are never satisfied. Four that never say enough: Sheol, the grave, the barren womb, earth that is never satisfied with water, and fire that never says enough. Never satisfied. And I think that also applies to many unmarried women as well, who long for children and a family, and it just has not happened the way they had hoped. It's kind of the slow death of your dreams. Never fully satisfied. And as Brian said, we experienced that personally for years and years, not being able to conceive, but it was worse in the ancient world. Why? Because in the ancient world, there were no other outlets for feelings of success or feelings of self-esteem for a woman who could not conceive. It wasn't like Sarai could say, you know, I'm not able to have a child, but at least I have a good career. I'm a lawyer, you know, I'm a teacher, I own a small business, or since I haven't been able to have a child, I can travel, I can see the world, I can volunteer at my church. The inability to conceive a child in the ancient world meant for men, your name would not continue, and for a woman, it basically meant your whole life was a failure. Now, Abraham and Sarai lived in an agrarian culture. I grew up in an agrarian family. My dad raised beef cattle, and there's a picture of him feeding cows and then with round bales. It's from like 20-some years ago. But our family's livelihood revolved around cows having calves. And the cows that didn't have a calf, they're sold right away. Or the cows that he would call broken mouth cows, if they didn't eat enough to produce a large enough calf, they're immediately sold. You may affectionately call them hamburger. Okay. Now, I used to say, you know what, because that's what I grew up with, always hearing about this, cows that reproduce. And I was like, if I wrote a book about my life, because I also have really lousy teeth and a ton of crowns and root canals, I would call it, if I were a cow, I would have been sold by now. But the good news is, I'm not a cow, so that didn't happen. Now,
that's good for me, too.
Yeah.
I'm not a cow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. When you have a shattered dream of some kind, you often feel like kind of a failure. And you feel like you're losing hope for your future. And this feeling, this loss of hope for the future, is even compounded sometimes for a follower of Jesus. Why? Because a follower of Jesus is wondering, what is God doing in my life? Look at verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed to Sarai's proposal. Not a good idea, okay. Sarai is saying, no, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. And on one level, she's talking about the sovereignty of God in this world. She's thinking, God has prevented me from getting pregnant, and God is sovereign and in control. But on another level, she's saying what many couples who are infertile feel and what so many people with any number of different shattered dreams feel, and that is, God must be judging me. God is deliberately keeping me from this dream. He could make this happen if he wanted to. God is keeping me from finding a spouse. God is holding back financial blessing from my life. And then sometimes we think we know why God is holding back from us also. Because deep down, sometimes we feel like we're getting what we deserve. We think God is keeping his hand to us closed because of some particular sin we committed in the past, or because of some unique way we might have messed up in life. And that was the view in the ancient world regarding a woman's inability to conceive. And unfortunately, that's the view in part of the world today. But the truth is, that is not the truth about God, and it's not the truth about the Bible. Yeah. If we're going to address the shattered dreams in our lives, we have to get past the thinking that this particular problem I have is the result of me messing up somehow in the past. The fact is, we don't know why God allows things to happen the way they do sometimes. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. And we don't know why in either case. And there are also lots of good things that happen to good people and bad things that happen to bad people. And again, we don't know why. Take this issue of infertility. I know amazing couples in our church who would make fabulous parents. They want children, they love Jesus, they have integrity, and yet they've never been able to conceive. And then I read stories about a woman who sold her child into prostitution so she could buy more drugs. I remember myself when I was teaching high school many years ago, one of my students who was about 16 casually told me about the second abortion she'd had because she didn't want to be pregnant. And I thought, this makes no sense to me at all. Why was she able to conceive? And we're like, God, what is going on here? What are you doing? How are you allowing this? Because there doesn't seem to be a correlation between a person's goodness or following God and their ability to have kids or find a spouse, or their badness and possible rejection of God and their inability to have hopes come true. We don't know why women who've obeyed God don't find a godly husband. We don't know why some wonderful people don't get healed, or why some honest workers get fired and some corrupt workers get promoted. The bottom line is, we simply don't know. God does not tell us. He's silent about this. We don't know why fires ravaged California. We don't know why Hurricane Helene happened. We simply don't know why. And we'll probably never know why this side of heaven. So if we're not going to know why we have shattered dreams, then how do we respond to our shattered dreams? How do we respond to the shattered dream of wanting a child so badly and having it not happen? How do we respond to the shattered dream of wanting a spouse so badly and it has not happened? Or the shattered dream of a child who walked away from God, or who went to prison, or what I've heard is the worst thing anybody's ever going through, the death of their child. There are so many ways that we could respond to shattered dreams.
One way we can respond to shattered dreams is we can become bitter. That's what Sarai did. Look at verses 3 to 5. So Sarai, Abram's wife, let me just stop there just for a moment and explain. You know, as you're reading these stories, it sometimes gets confusing on the names of the people, because sometimes this woman is called Sarai, sometimes she's called Sarah, sometimes the guy is called Abram, then he's called Abraham. What's that all about? Well, at birth, Sarai was named Sarai by her parents, which in Hebrew means my little princess. My little princess. And then later, God renamed Sarai Sarah, which means princess of all, because she was going to be the matriarch of our faith. And with Abram, the word Abram means exalted father. That was his name at birth. God renames Abram Abraham, which means father of a multitude, because that is who God was saying he was going to become. So sometimes we might say Sarai, we might say Sarah, Abram, Abraham. They're the same person, so don't get mixed up by that. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew that she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." So what did Sarai do once Hagar got pregnant? She blamed. She first of all blamed Abram, her husband. Then she blamed Hagar, and eventually she blamed God. And as she blamed, she became bitter. And look at number two. Bitterness poisons our soul. Bitterness poisons everything around us, because bitterness causes us to focus on what we don't have instead of on what we do have. And when we become bitter, what happens to our soul is that our soul begins to shrivel up and die. And we've all seen people like that, right? We all know people who can hardly talk without complaining about something. They're just miserable, and they sow misery everywhere they go. Bitterness is one of the ways we can respond to a shattered dream. A second way we can respond to a shattered dream, letter B, is we can become fatalistic. Now, fatalism is the philosophy that says that what's happening to me right now is predetermined. This is my destiny, this is my lot in life, and there's nothing that I can do about it whatsoever. I'm just sort of like a pawn in the hand of God, and I can't do anything to change my fate. That's fatalism. And even as Christians, we sometimes get fatalistic in our thinking. We think that this horrible thing that's come upon me, you know, this shattered dream I'm going through, it must somehow be, quote, God's will. I mean, no matter how terrible the situation is, well, this must be what God wants. That's a fatalistic attitude. And then the third way we're going to respond to a shattered dream, letter C, is we can take control. And that's what Sarai did. She first got bitter, and then she took control. Look at verses 2 and 4. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children, so go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. Verse 4, so Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. Now, you need to know that this use of a servant girl to have a family, this was a well-known practice in the ancient world. If a wife was not able to get pregnant, she would present one of her slave girls to her husband, who would bear a child, a son they were hoping for her. And it was understood that the wife, not the biological mother of the child, was going to raise the child. Now, before we look at the problem with Sarai's plan of taking control, we need to notice that there's actually something good about what Sarai did. Look at number two. It's good to not be passive in the face of our problems. It's good for you and I to face our problems head on and say, you know, I'm not just going to do nothing about this. I'm not just going to lie down about this. I'm going to actually do something. I'm going to do something about this financial problem I'm going through. I'm going to do something about this marital problem that we're having. I'm going to do something about this addiction. I'm not going to just let this go on year after year after year. See, there are lots of good activities that a person can do to help change their life. We are not just to lie down and accept whatever situation we find ourselves in. We can act on it. However, there's a kind of activity in which we find in Sarai, and it's an activity that's mingled with unbelief. It's an activity where a person says to themselves, you know, I can't really trust God about this.
When we have some kind of shattered dream, there are really two types of activities we can get involved in. One of them is the way to peace, and that's the kind of activity that says, I am going to walk out this change in my life, and I'm going to do it with you, God. I'm going to choose to trust in your goodness, and I'm going to rest in you as I walk out this change in my life. You walk through the shattered dream, relying on God the best you can. Now, one of the many years we went through infertility, when I felt really lousy, I did a Bible study on hope, and I looked up and wrote down every single verse in the Bible that had to do with hope. Old school, okay, pen and paper. My realization from that is that Jesus is my hope. He's my only hope, no matter what my life situation is. Jesus is hope. Amen. And one of Brian and my mantras over the years has been, I don't understand, but I trust you, God. Because you know what? Life is hard, but God is good. Now, there's another kind of activity you can get involved in when you have a shattered dream, and that's taking your life back from God, and I've done that too to some extent. And it's easy to think that God can't really be trusted to provide or protect you. You know, God's not going to give me what I want, so I better do my own thing. I better just kind of turn my back on God and live life my way. I need to take matters into my own hands. I'm desperate. Here, sleep with Hagar. The second kind of activity never ends happily. It did not for Sarai. Now, it didn't for, look at verses 5 and 6. Then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, and now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Abram replied, look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. And he's probably thinking, and by the way, this was your idea, you suggested this. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The problem with us trying to take control from God is that we are limited. We don't know everything we need to know in order to make a good decision because we don't know the future. We try to take our life back from God in order to find a spouse, and we end up with the wrong one because we were short-sighted. Or as in this situation, the surrogate Hagar turns on Sarai and treats her with contempt and pride. Hagar begins to despise Sarai because Sarai is barren and Hagar is producing a son. Hagar is insensitive to Sarai's plight, but quite honestly, Sarai was insensitive to Hagar's plight as well. What a strange situation to be in. Whenever we have some kind of shattered dream, one of the main problems in dealing with the shattered dream is dealing with the insensitivity of other people or what we perceive to be insensitivity. So this is a little family business for our church family to help us treat each other better. Sometimes we can be so unhelpful when somebody else is going through a shattered dream, and it can be that way in the church. And the fact is, I think church people are well-meaning, and they want to do the right thing, and they want to say the right thing. But oftentimes, we don't know the right thing to say, so we say exactly the wrong thing. We say the insensitive thing because we feel like we need to say something. You know, we talk to a couple that doesn't have a child, and we say, don't you guys want children? When are you going to start a family? And they're dying inside because they've been trying for years. Or we say to someone who's not married, don't you want to get married? Just stop looking for a spouse, and when you do, one will come your way. And the person saying this was like 19 when they got married, and they're saying it to somebody who's 36 and never been married. You know, I think of things over the years that people said to us. Just relax. When you relax, you'll get pregnant. Take a vacation. Really? Is it that simple? You know, or take my kids. They're driving me crazy. And you're just thinking, I'd gladly take your kids. I want children. When Brian and I were dealing with this for so many years, so many people said so many things. And it's not because they wanted to be insensitive. They just weren't thoughtful. I still remember the time one woman, she had five children. And I think she'd been married 10 or 12 years. And we'd been married probably about the same amount of time. And she said to me, I know exactly how you feel. And I'm thinking, really? And I'm married to Brian, so I can't say what I really think. I have to be nice back to her. But
could have said it. You go, girl.
Have grace on anybody that's on heavy infertility drugs. There were a couple times I did not respond well. But you hear the same kind of things at funerals, especially a child's funeral, that really shouldn't be said. You know, people will say, God must have wanted another angel in heaven, or she was too beautiful for this world. When you don't know what to say, it is best not to say a Christianese cliche. Amen. The fact is, we don't have to have the answer to everybody's problems. It's best just to say a simple, I love you, I'm here for you, I'm praying for you. I'm so sorry you're going through this. I can't imagine how difficult this is. Let's look at what happens next in verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. The angel saying, do the right thing anyway. You're in a horrible situation, do the right thing anyway. Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you're now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears, for the Lord has heard your cry of distress. In other words, he's saying, God's in control. He sees you. He hears you. Continuing, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. The key to our shattered dreams has to do with our focus. Where is our focus? Sarai's focus was on her lack of a child and trying to control that issue in her life. Hagar's focus was on Sarai's mistreatment of her. Where is your focus? Is it on the God who sees you? Is it on the God who hears you? Because God does see you and he cares deeply about what you're going through and what shattered dreams you might have.
Amen. Look at number three on your outline. There are two questions to ask yourself when you're suffering from a shattered dream. The first one was suggested over 60 years ago by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said this, letter A, is there any way I can turn this problem into an opportunity? Is there any way I can turn this problem into an opportunity? So, for example, let's say that you're going to spend the next week in the hospital for some procedure that you're going to have. So you can either spend the next week miserably in the hospital, or you can try to be as joyful as you possibly can be. You can say to yourself, you know, I'm going to spend a week in the hospital no matter what. Why not try to use this time for God? Why not, while I'm in the hospital, why not pray more than I normally pray? Or why not try to share the gospel with, you know, the nurses and the doctors and the people who feed me meals and all that, the medical techs. Excuse me. You know, while I'm waiting to get pregnant, not able to get pregnant, God, are there any other children that you would like me to pour my life into? You know, while I'm not married, while I'm looking for a spouse, God, what would you like me to invest my life in for the good of other people? It goes back to what Thora was saying. What is your focus on? Is your focus just on your shattered dream, you know, what you don't have? Or is your focus on turning that shattered dream into some kind of an opportunity? Look at number one. Part of turning a shattered dream into an opportunity is making sure you take the time to thank God for all of your blessings. Because the truth is, we all have blessings. But oftentimes we don't really thank God for those blessings. And therefore our focus is never on the blessing of God. It's only on what we don't have. The shattered dream. Second question to ask ourselves when we are suffering from a shattered dream, letter B, is what do I believe about God? Do you ever really think about that? What do I really believe about God? Is God the kind of God who's withholding from me? He's trying to get even with me because of some past sin that I committed? You know, is God trying to teach me a lesson by keeping me from getting married? Is God somehow, you know, trying to even the score in my life in some way? Here's the truth. Look at number one. God has already evened the score by paying for all of our sins. And he did that on the cross through Jesus Christ. See, that is when the score was evened in your life, and that's when it was evened in my life. Therefore, the price has already been paid by Jesus on the cross. And the truth is, the same God who revealed himself to Hagar is the God who wants to reveal himself to you. Same God. Look back at verse 13. Hagar said, you are the God who sees me. You know what she's saying? You are the God who sees me, and you have good plans for my life. You have good news for my life. You are the God who sees me, and you want to bless my life. Some of you need to hold on to that truth right now. God sees you in the midst of your shattered dream, and he loves you, and he has good plans for you. I don't know if the shattered dream is going to be solved or not. We have no way of knowing. But I do know that God wants to bless your life. So whenever you have any type of shattered dream, know this. Look at the last thing, number three. Your heavenly Father sees you with eyes of love and compassion. He sees you with concern. And he only intends good for your life. Because that's who God is. And that's what God is up to in all of our lives. Would you pray with me? I want to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. You don't have, there's nothing magical about closing your eyes, but it does block out distractions, and this is a holy moment right now for many people in this room, many people online, because God wants to minister to you in the area of your shattered dream. Maybe your shattered dream is infertility. Maybe it's not finding the spouse of your dreams. Maybe it has to do with your career. You've never really been able to pursue the career that you've wanted. Maybe your shattered dream is financial. Things just haven't been working out for you financially. Maybe it has to do with your health. Would you just take a moment right now in your heart, and would you bring your shattered dream to God? And just say, God, I know you know how heartbroken I am. But I want to bring this to you. I want to bring this to you again. I know many of you have brought it to God probably hundreds of times. And would you just take a moment and ask God to do what you want him to do? God, would you allow us to have a child? God, would you heal me? God, would you bring that person into my life that's going to be my spouse someday? I pray that that's what God does. But that's not always the way it works. So what I want you to say to God next is what Thor and I have said so many times over the years. God, I don't understand. But I want you to know I trust you. And once again, God, I'm putting my whole life in your hands. And would you walk with me through this pain, through these difficulties? I can promise you, God will answer that prayer. If you really want to walk with God through the pain, he'll walk with you. And when you can't even walk, he'll carry you. Because that's our God. He sees you. He sees, the Bible says, the anguish of your soul. And he cares. You matter to him. Your pain matters to him. You know, one of the best things that we can do when we're going through some sort of a shattered dream is we can tell some other believers about it so that they can be praying for us on a regular basis. But it's also really, really good, at least from time to time, to tell somebody about it so they can actually pray for you right then. They can lay their hands on you. and ask God to break into this present evil age and bring the kingdom into this present evil age. Maybe you'll get that healing that you're wanting. Maybe all of a sudden the infertility will be healed. Maybe God will bring that person into your life. And so one of the things I encourage you, if you're going through some sort of a shattered dream right now, is before you leave today, why don't you receive some prayer? We'll have a trained ministry team up here at the front. We would love to pray for you about anything at all, but especially for a shattered dream. And I really felt this morning that for those of you that are going through infertility, I know maybe you've received prayer before. I want to encourage you today. Receive prayer today, because the truth is we've seen a lot of people get pregnant after we've had people pray for them to, you know, get pregnant. So I would encourage you to receive prayer for that if that's you. But anything you'd like prayer about for a shattered dream, we'd love to pray for you. Next weekend, we're going to continue the series looking at families that are messy. And we're going to talk about how do you live in the culture that we live in today and still kind of keep your faith. So I hope you're here for that. Would everybody stand? I want to ask the ministry team to come to the front. I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. Lord, thank you for being with us. And I pray, God, for all of us that are going through some sort of a shattered dream, that you would just lift our spirits a little bit more today. Help us, God, to put our hope in Jesus. And I pray, Lord, as we pray for people up here at the front, before we go, I pray, God, that you would break in with your kingdom and that some real miracles would happen today, God. So bless my friends as they go. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. See you soon.